Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
What a joy it is to gather together to celebrate our Savior's resurrection. Today we are beginning a journey, not just a journey out to the empty tomb, but a journey to a stronger faith throughout the Easter season. But we must begin with the journey to the empty tomb. God bless our worship this morning.
Thank you.
are able, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The stone the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth.
To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory.
Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. A lesson from the book of Psalms, Psalm 16, beginning with verse 5, Pew Bible, page 542. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The word of the Lord.
Crown him with many crowns.
A lesson from the great resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We begin with verse 1, Pew Bible, page 1154. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. The word of the Lord. Easter Gospel from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We begin with verse 1, Pew Bible, page 1060. Please stand. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
Rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I can well imagine last Monday morning there were conversations like this in people's homes. Mom comes to the son's bedroom. Get up! There's 5 inches of snow out there. We have to leave early. Son's response? Nothing. 5 minutes later. Get up! There are 5 inches of snow. We have to leave now. Son's response, Mom, there can't be 5 inches of snow. It's the middle of April. To which frustrated mom responds, go see for yourself. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to go see for ourselves. You know, the women went out to the tomb. They were so excited. They'd seen the angels. He is not here. He has risen. They rush back into town. They tell the disciples, it's true. Jesus has risen from the dead. The angels told us we're going to go see him in Galilee. And the disciples go, you're crazy. Can't be. Now, I think the women would have taken the role of the mom in that earlier picture, right? No, he's alive. Can't be. Go see for yourself. Go see for yourself. That's what Peter did. He went to see for himself. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to go and see for ourselves if that tomb is empty. Because our faith is challenged. And if that tomb is not empty, then our faith is worthless. Maybe you've seen the news this morning. 200 people dead in hotels and churches in Sri Lanka. How could this be? Where is the risen Christ when explosions rip through Christian churches on Easter morning? Is this really true? Is Jesus really victorious over the grave? I can't answer that for you. I can't run out to the tomb for you. This is a journey that each one of us has to make on our own, so that we have absolute certainty the tomb was empty. Jesus has risen just as he said. Because if it's not true, then all those people in Sri Lanka, they died in vain. And we're still in our sins. And we are to be pitied more than anybody in the world. So let's go on this journey. A journey that will certainly change our lives. As we go out to the empty tomb, let's go out and remember. That's what the angels told the women to do. They said, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Is the tomb empty? I would encourage us together to go and remember. To read the Gospels and remember. If you page back through the Gospel of Luke, it's just interesting that the apostles didn't read what I call the New Testament fine print. Quite often, when Jesus talked about his death, he also talked about his resurrection. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and must be killed. And that's where the disciples stopped listening. They didn't read the fine print, it would seem. Because right after that is when Peter says, "Never, Lord, this will never happen to you." All he heard was that Jesus was going to die. They didn't read the fine print. And on the third day, be raised to life. It happened again in Luke 18. That Jesus is going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. The disciples didn't get this. They couldn't read the fine print. The reason why this is so important for us is that as we page through the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, just page through them and see how often the disciples admit the resurrection was not part of their plan. This wasn't some cleverly invented story. They were surprised. They hadn't read the fine print, so go back and remember. First, read the fine print. But then I would encourage you to go back farther than that. The journey to the empty tomb actually begins in another garden. It begins in the Garden of Eden, right after the fall into sin. You see, the whole Old Testament is a journey to Jesus' resurrection and the empty tomb. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you'll go, "Wait a second, Pete. You know what? There's a lot of Old Testament stuff that says nothing about Jesus' resurrection." And I would beg to differ. It's just that throughout most of the Old Testament, it just wasn't clear. In the Garden of Eden, God promises a seed of the woman who would crush Satan's head. Adam and Eve were left to wonder, "I wonder how that's going to happen." Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, hear the promise. Through their offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. But God doesn't sit down with Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob and say, "This is how it's going to happen." But there's a promise. It's not until about 1,000 years after Abraham that God begins to explain the how of how the seed of the woman is going to crush Satan's head and how Abraham's descendants are going to bless all nations. We heard it in the Old Testament lesson. King David writes in Psalm 16 about how you will not let your faithful ones see decay. This is what I call one of the Old Testament golden nuggets. It clearly talks about the resurrection. The Apostle Peter, when he preached on this text on Pentecost, he could tell the people of Jerusalem, "You know what? You can see David's tomb yet to this day. David's body decayed in the grave. But this is talking about somebody else. That his body will not see decay. He will not stay in that grave." 300 years later, there's another one of those golden nuggets in Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, we're told that the servant of the Lord would become a sin offering or an offering for sin. You know what an offering for sin is? You know what a sin offering is? Look it up in Leviticus chapter 4. A sin offering was a goat most of the time. You would drag this goat into the tabernacle. You would place your hand on the head of that goat. And you would begin confessing your sins, the big sins and the little sins, the lying and the cheating and the envy and the bitterness and the anger. confess your sins on the head of that goat, and then you'd take a knife and you'd slit the goat's throat and it would bleed out. A powerful reminder that the wages of your sin is death. You see, a sin offering dies. But look at that. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, a sin offering that has to die, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. The Old Testament golden nuggets do say, he has to rise from the dead. Much of the Old Testament doesn't explain the how. It just says there is this promise coming. And even those parts where there's battles and where God sends the people off into exile, how does that fit in with the promise of the resurrection? It is all part of God's plan to preserve Adam's line, Abraham's line, Isaac's line, Jacob's line, David's line, so that the promise of the resurrection of the Savior could be fulfilled. The whole Old Testament testifies to the resurrection. That's what Jesus did for the two men on the way to Emmaus later on in Luke chapter 24. He begins with Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and he goes through the prophets, and he just says, look, it's all there, all the way through. And I would invite you to join with me on this journey. It's not an easy journey to take. Most Christians don't take this journey. The Old Testament is a closed book to many Christians. I would invite you to go with me the journey. If you don't have a Bible, stop by the Welcome Center and grab a Bible. And along with that Bible, I would invite you to pick up a Bible reading guide. There's nothing special about this one. In fact, it looks pretty shabby because it's the Bible reading guide that I've been using for about 15 years. It's kind of tattered, the original in my Bible. And I'm just invite you to go along with me on this journey. And let's see how the Old Testament leads us to the empty tomb. Because if that tomb isn't empty, what are we here for? And I've even put my email address and my cell phone number on it because I'm going on this journey at the same time. So if you have a question, email me, text me, we can talk. Let's go on the journey together. But that assumes something. That assumes that this book is reliable. That we really can go on a journey to Jesus' tomb and see whether it's empty or not. And this is where I would encourage you to examine the witnesses. Now you might say, I can't. Luke could. Luke, at the beginning of his gospel, says that's what he did. You see, Luke, our gospel lesson for today, Luke is not an eyewitness to Jesus' resurrection, but at the beginning of his gospel, he says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I decided to write an orderly account to you too, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. He carefully examined everything. He wasn't an eyewitness, so he had to go and talk to the eyewitness. And that's what I would encourage you to do too. And you can say, but Luke had an advantage. Luke had the advantage that he could actually talk to people. You and I can't. So we're looking at a cold case. A cold case of death and resurrection. How do investigators look at a cold case? They go back and examine the written testimony. And that's our privilege, to go back and examine the written testimony. For example, there's something in the written testimony here in our text that makes me pause. Luke mentions Joanna. Who's Joanna? Luke mentions Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. The other apostles mentioned those women. But who's Joanna? No other gospel writer mentions Joanna. The only place that Joanna is mentioned is she is mentioned by Luke in Acts chapter 8, where Joanna is one of those women who out of her own means provided for the apostles. Why did Luke mention Joanna? None of the other apostles did. Who is this Joanna? Well, Luke tells us at the beginning of his gospel that he examines the witnesses, right? Why do you think he names three of the women, but not the others? You see in this picture, I like this picture because this picture shows six women at the empty tomb. Luke mentions three women by name and three he doesn't mention by name. Why? Could it be that he had talked to Joanna, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James? You see, Luke was in the holy city, Jerusalem, and in its vicinity for about 2 years as Paul was in prison, about 60 AD, about 30 years after Jesus' resurrection. I'm guessing that these women were about 30 years old and they were probably about 60 years young like me as Luke goes and investigates things. He had a chance to go and talk to them. You see, when I read the scriptures, I'm always asking, are these witnesses reliable? Because everything depends on that empty tomb. If the tomb is empty, those Christians in Sri Lanka, they're okay. If the tomb is not, they died in vain. So go and examine the witnesses. Examine the written witnesses. Ask yourself the questions. What benefit would these witnesses have to lie? What risks were these witnesses taking to say that Jesus rose from the dead? Do these witnesses agree? Do these witnesses all say the exact same thing so that there appears to be collusion and maybe they're not independent witnesses? I encourage you, come along with me on this journey, so that you and I can know for sure if the tomb is empty. But I warn you, this journey will change. Because if you go on this journey and you find out that the tomb wasn't empty, And if you're convinced that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then it must change. You see, you can't then say, well, Christianity is an okay religion. No. If the tomb isn't empty, then you should be an enemy of Christianity. If the tomb isn't empty, then you should be charging St. Paul's with child abuse, because we train 350 kids every week in our full-time educational system and 100 more kids in our kids' club, and we're telling them a lie if the tomb isn't empty. We're abusing those children. If the tomb isn't empty, then you need to stand up and say this is the worst hoax that's deceiving people that could possibly be imagined. You can't sit on the fence. But if you find that the tomb is empty, then you don't belong to yourself anymore. Then you know something that every person in this world needs to know. Then you know something that has the power to give hope in the face of death. And your body and your life doesn't belong to you anymore. Everything about you is all about Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And I need to let that be known in every interaction. It is not my life anymore. And so I would invite you to go with us on this journey. Next week, we're going to go to what I call the fortress of doubt. I think of doubt as you know, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I think of doubt kind of like Mount Doom. It was always drawing Frodo to itself. But death was awaiting him at Mount Doom. He needed companions along the way to help him overcome the power of Mount Doom. Brothers and sisters, I need help, and so do you. Frodo had the Fellowship of the Ring to help him. Maybe we could be the Fellowship of the Empty Tomb. Let's go on this journey together. Let's open up the scriptures. Let's examine the witnesses. Let's see if it's true. And if it's true, let's not be afraid to be changed. There's a danger there, right? But what are we waiting for? Let's go! Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
A responsive confession of faith based on 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time.
Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive.
We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet.
For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality.
When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, Then the saying that is written will come true.
Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. Please stand. Heavenly Father, God of grace, you have brought us into a new and living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We marvel at the love you showed by your willingness to sacrifice your Son to pay for our sins. We bow down in adoration at your mighty power which raised him from the dead.
We praise you for sending true life and life into the world.
Lord Jesus, God of grace, you have filled our hearts with resurrection joy by your victory over sin, death, and the grave.
You have conquered.
Thank you.
with the church of every age, we offer you unending praise, for you have crushed Satan's head and have removed our guilt.
You are risen.
Dear Savior, we who are weary and burdened come to you for rest, knowing that because of your perfect redemption, there is now no condemnation for us.
You are risen.
Take away our doubts and fears, and daily renew in us the joy of our salvation.
Alleluia.
Holy Spirit, God of grace, you have called us by the gospel and brought us to saving faith in our risen Lord.
We glorify you for opening our eyes to see the light of life.
Keep us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
As we journey through life,
O risen Savior, death is not victorious over you and shall not be victorious over us. We pray for our fellow Christians in Sri Lanka as they mourn the death of 200 of their brothers and sisters in the faith. Your empty tomb assures us that they are living and ruling with you in heaven. Comfort those who mourn and grant healing to those who have been injured. Holy Spirit, come through word and sacrament to comfort the family of Sherry Sorensen, the daughter of Chuck Frederick, the mother of Shelby Crosby, who now enjoys the gift of eternal life that Jesus has won for her. Comfort also Jim Beyer and all who face surgery and hospitalization this coming week. Guide our sisters in Christ, Kristen Miller and Emily Davis, for holding calls to serve as teachers in our school. And live in the hearts of Amy McLean and Mike Kuhn that their lives as husband and wife, which begins next Saturday, might be blessed with that peace which surpasses all understanding. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Work through us as we proclaim the saving message of the crucified and risen Jesus near and far, so that many others may hear your call, obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, and join us before the throne of our God and of the Lamb. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Please stand. Alleluia. Christ has risen just as he said. He has risen from the dead.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Assured of the victory Jesus has won for us by the power of his resurrection, we go with joy into the world to share the good news that Jesus died and is alive again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please remain standing and go in the power and joy of Christ's resurrection and yours.